Welcome to the Book Machine Podcast, Conversations in Publishing.
The podcast that explores the stories of inspiring people from the publishing world.
Tune into our monthly episodes to learn more about how books are brought to life.
And to get an insider's perspective on the publishing industry.
Hello everyone, welcome to the first ever podcast from Book Machine, Conversations in Publishing, where we will be chatting with inspiring people from across the world of book publishing and discovering their highlights, lowlights, greatest achievements, and top tips. I'm Gavin, co-founder at Book Machine, and I'd like to introduce, first of all, my co-host for the series, Gemma. Hi, Gemma.
Hello.
How's your week going?
Really well, thank you. This is all brand new, but so fun.
So I don't know about you, but we're recording this from Greenwich in December, where it's just been snowing, and I've mostly been walking like a penguin this week, as per Scottish government advice. We'll be including the link in the show notes to their official document, which illustrates how best to walk in these snowy, icy conditions.
We are nothing if not incredibly informative, whether it's within digital marketing, within publishing, or just generally how to not injure yourself in public.
So Gemma, would you like to explain a bit about your role at Book Machine?
Indeed. I am a digital marketing strategist, which basically means I lead on client campaigns, whether that's for our kind of general roster of publishers or businesses in the education sector. But I also do stuff for the actual agency itself, whether that's writing new copy for the website or actually coming up with ad campaigns for us. There's a whole breadth of different things that I do. And within that, that's anything from copywriting to creating ads to working with influencers to putting together strategy documents. It's all in there. So very, very varied.
Fantastic. So a bit about my role. So I'm co-founder of Book Machine along with Laura. So I'm typically responsible for the kind of operational side of Book Machine, making sure the company runs to plan. My background is on the digital publishing side of things and education specifically. So Gemma, we're going to kick off each of our episodes with this following question for our guests. What is the book that made you want to work in publishing? So Gemma, we shall start
with you.
Question,
Gavin. That's a big question. There are two, and maybe I think it's very indicative of probably my generation, and I will probably out myself age-wise by saying it. But I read like everything and anything when I was growing up, and I would always have the maximum amount of books out on loan from the library, my local library, at any one time, and I would read the maximum amount per week to the point where I finished the entire children's and teen and kind of the accessible bit of the adult section when I was in my teens. And when I went to university, I went to do psychology. I was on a completely different life path, and then someone put two books across my path which completely changed everything. And those two books were Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone. And the other one, I got given both of these in the same night. And the other one was His Dark Materials, was Northern Lights by Philip Pullman. And it was, so just to put it into context, because these are so like, you know, huge and ubiquitous now that they just weren't at the time. They were both building. And I think Harry Potter was on book three at that point, or roughly around there, and people knew of Philip Pullman, but it wasn't kind of a big deal. I think it was more niche then, and I read both of them on the same night, and wow. I couldn't stop reading. Yeah, I didn't sleep much, but for the wholesome reasons, other than being at university, which, you know, obviously other people were going out and I was just reading. So no change there. But yeah, those are the two books that convinced me that I had to work in this industry, I had to be part of producing amazing, life-changing things like that. So yeah, that was mine. What about you?
Yeah, well, I remember reading Northern Lights. I think it must have been when I was still in school. I'm just thinking back to exactly when it was, but I really enjoyed it, and I didn't quite appreciate it at the time. Yeah. I was young enough that I didn't appreciate how allegedly transgressive it was. However, I have never read Harry Potter. Not a single book from the series. I have not seen a single movie from Harry Potter. I just, I don't know how I've been able to avoid it all this time.
I am genuinely mind blown. Seriously. Yeah. Oh my, right. End this podcast right now.
It's like that thing where you meet somebody that's never seen Star Wars.
I don't know what to say.
I've never involved myself with Harry Potter so far.
Wow. Okay. But I mean, Gavin, you have young children, so, you know, this is going to happen at some point. So you're going to have to sit down and do a marathon.
So, yeah, I guess, so the book that got me into publishing, I don't think there was, I can't really pinpoint one that made me think publishing is the industry for me. But what I can say is that I was into reading from a very young age, and to the point where my dad would compile reading lists for me and stick them up in my bedroom.
Wow.
And I'd tick them off. Whenever I had my friends come round to visit, you know, they'd absolutely mercilessly ridicule me for this. However, it did lead to
I can't
a big
think
love
why.
Of reading. Now, my favorite book that my dad ever recommended me was one that he bought in the 1950s when he was a kid. And it was written by a guy who you may have heard of called Patrick Moore. He was the kind of astronomer.
The astronomer, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So in the 1950s, he wrote books. He wrote science fiction books.
I did not know
and,
that.
And one of his best ones was Mission to Mars.
I see.
And just a fantastic, fantastic sci-fi story, speculating, you know, a bit about what a human mission to Mars might look like. Who knows? Elon Musk might make that happen in the next few years.
You know, I was thinking that, don't you? I was wondering
It was a real magical story, you know, and what they discovered in Mars were all these kind of alien creatures and things. The in his kind of latter years, Patrick Murray returned to the mission to Mars story and created a new edition of it, which took out the bits that were kind of speculation in the 1950s and tried to make it more realistic based on what we know about Mars now. The problem was that kind of took all of the magic out of it, and it just became quite a kind of dull procedural story. So, you know,
trying to turn fiction into non-fiction in the same book.
But yeah, fantastic book, and there's many books in the series, and so that really cemented for me, you know, that reading was going to be my thing, and I think probably inevitable that I was going to end up in publishing at some point.
So Gavin, tell me about how you became involved in Book Machine. How did that come about?
Sure, yeah, Book Machine's had quite a journey, and unbelievably is kind of over 10 years old now. The way it came about was that myself and a group of friends in publishing, including Laura, my co-founder, and just in case anyone's wondering, also my wife, what we were really looking for was a way to keep in touch with colleagues in the publishing industry. You know how it is when, you know, you work with a great group of people in a particular role, and then you move on to your next job, and it can be difficult to keep in touch with people, and people can drift apart. But actually, you know, publishing is really it really truly is a kind of people industry. It's all about the people, and we wanted a way to keep in touch with old colleagues and share ideas and all of that. So in 2010, we picked a pub. We invited everyone that we knew, and there was maybe kind of 20 people turned up, and we had a really great meeting. And then we booked another one for a few months later, and suddenly, you know, there was hundreds of people coming along, and it really became just a great kind of social event for people that were in the industry from kind of all areas. We had, you know, people that were students and looking to get into the industry, through to mid-career people and senior people, and we would have events initially in London, but we kind of expanded out of there to Oxford, to Edinburgh. We had events at the Edinburgh Book Festival. We had events in Barcelona, run by our friend Maria. We had events in New York, in Toronto, and you know, it really became, you know, a really kind of great way to spend time with friends, meet new people, and share ideas. So for Laura and I, this was really something that we were doing as a hobby, as a side project, alongside our kind of full-time roles in book publishing. And over the years, it kind of grew to the point where, you know, Laura decided, actually, I think I can, you know, do this full time now. And that's what she did. And I kind of stepped back for a number of years and focused on my role in the publishing industry. And Laura then kind of took things forward, established the creative agency aspect of what we do at Book Machine now. And then, you know, once we got to kind of 2020 and post pandemic, it was at that point where, you know, I decided to join Laura and kind of build Book Machine together.
What a journey. And also, like many good things in publishing, started in a pub.
Absolutely, yes. All the best ideas.
Yeah, I should say that we don't, you know, continually work in pubs. We've moved past that and now based in Greenwich.
What was your defining role? What has been your defining role in publishing so far?
I would say it was working at Penguin Random House Children's. Although when I first started, it was just Penguin. It was pre-merger, mm-hmm. Which was quite different in lots of ways. I was going to say my defining role was at Chicken House, which fantastic indie children's publisher based in Frome, started by Barry Cunningham, who was the person that signed Jo Rowling to Bloomsbury. I went out and created his own independent list. So that was also incredibly formative, but I can't deny that I think it was 8 or 9 years at Penguin Children's was, yeah, completely formative, because I learned so much and did a lot. To the point where I look back and I think, how on earth did that all fit into that time? But yeah, it was wild. But excellent.
So when you say wild, are any particular wild moments that spring to mind?
I really dropped myself in it, didn't I? many of them at the fairly legendary conference parties that happened over the years. All wholesome, good fun, you understand. But, you know, a lot of it was the campaigns and the books that we were working on were really high profile authors or just, you know, subjects or books. And there were, you know, a lot of expectations, as you would expect. Mm. And so it kind of, every campaign felt like a big challenge to top the last one and to make sure that you were operating at your absolute max.
Was there ever continually that level of intensity through the year, or did you find was there kind of peaks and troughs? Did you ever get to relax at any point?
maybe like I mean, December's always slower, isn't it? Generally, in publishing. But, and this summer, although I found in the last couple of years pre-pandemic, the summer didn't feel any slower. It was like the pace continued. But it was just a mark of the list and how impressive it was and is, and how much there was to work on and so many exciting new avenues. So it wasn't just books as well. There were, you know, brands and properties that went into other fields of film and TV and audio.
Yeah.
So it was all encompassing. But yeah, I learned so much and it was awesome. And I met some of the best people in the world there, who I will never not know. So yeah, it was entirely worth it.
Excellent. I guess for me, my defining role was working the photocopier at a company called Leckie and Leckie, who were based in Edinburgh at the time. And
I did not think you were going to say that.
No, well, I mentioned earlier that publishing is about the people, and yeah, I was working the photocopier, but the kind of people that I met there, who really helped me get started in the industry and, you know, teach me the ropes about how it all worked. It was so beneficial to me as a start. It really was what convinced me that publishing was the industry for me. I originally wanted to be a journalist. I did several kind of work placements in journalism, but it was working for Leckie and Leckie and working that photocopier that really convinced me that publishing was the way to go. I kind of moved down to London from Edinburgh after that and worked at Pearson, who were based in Harlow at the time. So I'd commute out to Harlow in Essex. It was there that I really kind of learned so much about project management and how to make a project happen. And I was only really there for 18 months, but, great friends, great experience. And then from there, I moved back into London and I was working for Hodder Education, who are part of Hachette. And I was there for 10 years, unbelievably. But again, I was there for 10 years because there was just some fantastic people there. It was a great team, people that I absolutely loved working with.
This episode is sponsored by Book Machine Creative Agency. Picture this, you're busy, your in-house marketing team needs an extra pair of hands, or maybe you don't have a team at all just yet. We're here to help. Book Machine Creative Agency provides standout digital marketing for the publishing and education sectors, delivered by experts with experience and know-how. Why not book in a call with us to discuss letting us run an influencer marketing campaign, optimizing your digital products or technical services, refreshing your brand and design, and so much more. Head to bookmachine.org/agency. We can't wait to work with you.
Gavin, tell me what in your career to date about something challenging that you've come up against and how you kind of dealt with it.
thinking back to that photocopier, the instructions were useless and getting the hang of it. No. I think the biggest challenge in my career so far has been a relatively recent one in that we've just been through the pandemic. So when it all kind of kicked off in March 2020, so I was working at Hodder Education in the digital team there, and we left the office kind of end of March, and then never went back again for a year. And to take a team, we were a very close team, and we weren't unused to talking to people remotely on things like Teams and Google Hangouts and that kind of thing, but we were a kind of central service for the business, and we were used to being able to easily collaborate with people from all different departments, from editorial through to marketing, and suddenly overnight the way we worked had to change. And it was the same for everybody in the industry, of course, but just getting used to managing a team culture remotely was hugely challenging, and we did some things really, really well. We did some things less well. One thing we tried to do was have a Friday social every week. And I think the first time we did it, everyone was hugely enthusiastic, and then gradually less so until, it was probably just me turning up.
I think a lot of people experience that. I think because part of it is also you can't, obviously not more than one person can really speak at once.
Yes.
On video. So it kind of ruins that chatty dynamic. And it's all a bit one at a time. Let's queue up and say something.
Yeah. And you've got each member of the team is in a different situation in terms of their work environment and their responsibilities. And then of course, we worked with a lot of people that were abroad as well. People, development houses in India, people in Spain, where lockdown was much tougher than it ever was in the UK. Managing all of that was challenging. From that, learned a lot of lessons about how hybrid ways of working can work. And I've become a real believer in it. And, that's part of why, when it comes to Book Machine, we've made the decision as a company that, we were going to be remote first. We were going to be, as flexible as we possibly could be. And we've got our office in Greenwich, and it's there for people whenever they're in London, whenever they want to use it. But, the rest of the time we're set up for remote work. It's remote first, and that's the expectation. And it's about, making hybrid work, making remote work, I think, is just giving people that flexibility to do the work at the time that suits them around their responsibilities. And it's
a lot of trust, isn't there, involved in that? If you can make that work, as you have proved, it can be incredibly successful.
Well, I think everything has to, everything stems from trust. But I think, you want to work with the best people, and you want them to do the work, at the times that work for them, in the place that works for them. And it's not about being present in an office just to say you're there or to pass the time. It's not about when you do the work. It's what you deliver at the end of the day. It's about doing your best work, in the way that works for you. So I think from that real kind of challenge at the start of the pandemic, I think we've kind of arrived, certainly at Book Machine, at a way that of working that is very kind of effective for us.
Yeah, and I think you're right. It's there are, I remember in the time before the pandemic, it was very, tough as to how we were going to make the industry more diverse and to have people from all over the country involved in it rather than just being entirely London-centric almost. And there wasn't really a clear solution to that. And, in a way it forced it forwards, which, I think is brilliant because there's, I now live in the deepest, darkest West Country, and there's no way I could continue to work in the same way in the industry if Book Machine didn't have that approach, and equally with colleagues who are up in Scotland and over in Cambridgeshire and down in Kent, and you know, we can kind of, we can make it work and put it together and, like you say, create the best team. So I think that's incredibly smart.
So one, and I think you know, even before the pandemic, you know, again, where I was working previously at Hachette, you know, they'd already put in place plans for kind of regional hubs across the country. So one up in Scotland, one in Manchester, various places across the country, and you know, just recognizing the fact that you know, there is talent all over the country, and it shouldn't be necessary for somebody to be in London or near London and all the expense that entails, you know, in order to, you know, get involved, make a start and make an impact in the publishing industry. You know, that's really how as an industry we're going to attract the best people and the best talent from across the country.
For sure. Yeah, I completely agree.
So how about you, Gemma? What's been your most challenging situation?
I was thinking long and hard about this because, you know, there have been many. And my experience of the pandemic was completely different because I had only a week before I had handed my notice and I decided to take a slightly different direction and go and work in education for a bit. And then the pandemic happened and I was kind of stuck at home. And like you, I kind of walked out of the office one day and never went back in. And I didn't even, I had to have a leaving do over Zoom, which was, you know, not what it could have been. But
Likewise,
I think, it's, it was very different. And I think in terms of a challenge, I think this probably came slightly before that. It was a big campaign I was working on before that. And I think with any big campaign that has a lot resting on it, there are lots of different opinions and lots of different ways of solving problems. And it was, I actually always come back to something that Tom Weldon, the PRH CEO, said at one point about marketing, about being the voice of the consumer. And a big challenge within that campaign was to remain that kind of voice of the consumer, to put that across at all times and to use that as the guiding force for all of the, you know, the actions that I was taking within the campaign. And that was the way that I kind of saw through it. But I think a lot of challenges arise in our industry, potentially because people are so passionate about what they're doing. And everyone has a different perspective of the best way to achieve the best thing for those projects. So I think there were many times, but that was definitely one of them. But it worked out well in the end. But you know, whenever approaching kind of especially marketing challenges, I think that, you know, keeping the consumer front of mind is the thing that I always think of, and it guides everything. It was a conversation that I had with him that I will never forget. And yeah, it was incredibly useful to keep that in my head.
Yeah, I mean, I'd very similar kind of experience from my side, because I come from a kind of digital product background. You know, my role at Hodder Education was, you know, within our digital team there was developing digital products for UK schools, you know, websites and apps, ebooks and that kind of thing. And you know, when you're in the kind of product space, the most tempting thing in the world is to build something because you think it's cool, that you think it's a nice feature to add, that, you know, and you know, it's really easy to be in your own headspace and think, I'm building this and people must love it, right? If I build it the way I think it will work, then they'll just come. And you know, actually the opposite is true. You really have to start always by talking to the customer, by getting out there and asking them questions about, okay, you've got this idea. Is this actually solving a problem for them in the real world, not just in theory? You know, will they use it? Is it doing what they need?
That's true, because I think we're all also in our own bubbles, aren't we? Of, you know, I'm always kind of keeping up to date with what's happening in marketing and what's happening. And to me, things are really, you know, fun, exciting, but, you know, are they actually going to address a consumer problem? And same with you, but on the product side.
It's that kind of in the publishing company environment, you know, having, you know, the different departments talking to each other, having, you know, great communication between the departments in order to keep, you know, the voice of the customer first and foremost is just so important.
I think the other thing is all of these other issues, doesn't it? When you know you look at things from different perspectives, I think if other people can understand where you're coming from.
Absolutely.
I used to think my role was not so much about actually creating campaigns to sell books. It was actually about creating campaigns to let everyone else know why we were doing what we were doing and how we were doing it and why that was the best choice for the product. It's more complicated than just thinking we're going to run some Facebook ads, because, you know, but why and how?
And, you know, particularly when it comes to the digital world, you know, it's not just talking to your customer and understanding your customer is not something that's just a box that you tick at the beginning of a project and say, right, that's it. Now this is a customer focused thing. You know, getting something out there into the world is just the beginning now. You know, it takes that continual engagement, revisiting, you know, continually getting that feedback loop from your customers.
Data is everything.
Absolutely. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what our feedback is on this first experimental episode of the podcast. Gemma, would you like to explain for everyone what the future of this podcast is going to be? Who are we talking to next?
So next up, we're going to be talking to Orna O'Brien. She's the head of marketing at Bologna Book Plus, and going to be talking to us about A Day at the Fair, which will be incredibly interesting. We're going to be looking at different themes throughout 2023 and talking to different people who've got really interesting and inspiring publishing careers. So yeah, lots to come.
Fantastic. I hope you've all enjoyed this introductory episode to our new podcast series. This is something that Laura has been asked many times over the years. When are Book Machine going to do a podcast? Are you doing a podcast? We finally decided that 2023 is the year that we're going to do it. We're going to try it out and see how things go. I'm sure we're going to be talking to lots of interesting people from the industry and picking up, you know, fantastic tips and stories from across the industry. We'd love to get your feedback on this initial episode. If you have any ideas for people that we could feature, people we could talk to, if you've got any topics you'd like us to cover, do let us know. It'd be fantastic to hear from you. So thank you very much for listening.
See you next time.
Thank you. Thanks for listening to the Book Machine podcast, Conversations in Publishing.
If you like this episode, we would love it if you could leave us a 5-star review on the podcast platform of your choice. It really helps us to reach more listeners.
You can catch up with Book Machine by following us on social media, signing up for our community newsletter, or checking out our website at bookmachine.org.
See you next time.
The Book Machine podcast has been brought to you by our in-house production team, Neve Wallace, Joseph Clark, Suzanne Kavanagh, and Amy Dure.